news time.
I want you guys to imagine that you have an invisible voice recorder, maybe on your phone, but it's recording everything you say. And it starts recording every time you say the words, "you should" or "you must." It only turns on when you tell someone else how to live. In other words, it records your own moral standards as you seek to tell others or impose them on other people. For example, if you was to say, or maybe in your mind or in your heart, you say, "you must be nice to me and not tease me." Or, "you shouldn't cheat in handball. You shouldn't gossip about me behind my back. You shouldn't laugh at me." Or maybe, "you should laugh with me." It records nothing except what you believe is right and wrong. And what if God, on judgment day, he stands in front of everyone and he says, "let me show you what I'm going to use to judge you." And he plays the recording. You hear, "you must be nice to me and not tease me." And you reflect back on all the times that you teased someone yourself at recess or lunch. You hear, "you shouldn't cheat at handball or at any sport." And you reflect back on how it didn't quite touch the line, and yet you still yelled, "lines, replay." As the recorder continues, God hears the standards that you have set for other people. The ways that you've judged them, the ways that you've expected them to live. And he shows you the ways that you live. He shows you the ways that you have fallen short. Would you be able to stand against your own standards? Well, today we're going to see that you're either locked into yourself or to the Spirit. And being locked into yourself, which means living by your own standards, it leads to death, which is not the best thing for you. Being locked into the Spirit gives life and true freedom. So, how do we know whether we're living for ourselves or for God? Well, verse 5 helps us to reflect on that. So, don't live under the... Any slide? What's that? So, don't live under the control of sin. If you do, you will think about what sin wants. Live under the control of the Holy Spirit. If you do, you will think about what the Spirit wants. The words "think about what the Spirit wants" means kind of, what do we think about most of the time? Those who live under the control of sin, they set their minds on sinful, worldly things. Instead, we should think about what the Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit wants us to think about God, to be kind, to share the gospel of Jesus, to give glory to God, to worship Him. So what are our minds set on? What do we spend most of our time thinking about or striving towards? When you leave church on a Friday night or a Sunday morning, when you hop into your car, does God still feature in your thoughts? Or do you suddenly start just thinking about your own thing and forget God? At school, are you excited to get to know God? Are you excited to go to the lunchtime Jesus group? Or do you just do whatever you want? I want to please myself. I want to do whatever makes me the happiest. Maybe you spend all your time thinking about your friends and wanting to be with them, so much so that you don't spend as much time with God. Maybe you so badly want to fit in that you'll do things you know God doesn't love. What are the desires of your heart? What are your plans for the future? Does God have a say in your future? Having this selfish mindset can lock you in to death. It may promise life and success. It may look glamorous and good. And for a short time, it may feel really good. But do not be deceived. If you live by your own desires and cravings and passions, you will die a spiritual death. We can see that quite clearly in verse 6. It says, "the thoughts of a person ruled by sin bring death." If our thoughts are not controlled by the Spirit, we will not have life. If we cannot control our urges to be selfish and to please ourselves, we will die. We can see this again in verse 13, where it says, "if you live under the power of sin, you will die." It can hardly be clearer. living by sin equals spiritual death. It means choosing to live against God, the God who breathes life into us, the God who created our bodies, the God who knows what is best for us. Now, I love youth group. I went here, and I think camps are so fun and so awesome. You get to do stupid things at times. So some of my friends on summer camp got stung by stingrays swimming out to the sandbar, and they had to go to hospital. I've done some moon tanning at night, some illegal night swims, but I have to formally say on the stage, please don't do that. Go to bed. Listen to your leaders. One of my favorite memories from summer camp is this. If you think you can beat me at dessert time, come find me, come challenge me. We'll have a no spoons eating contest. Now, these guys were some of my best friends throughout school. They came to youth group, they came to camps, they read the Bible, they wrestled with hard questions, they even got confirmed. But most of the guys in that clip are today destined for hell. These guys loved doing their own thing. They wanted to have as much fun as they could. They wanted to have a comfortable life. They didn't want to follow Jesus. And if Jesus returned today or tomorrow, they will eternally die. That breaks my heart, and it should break your heart. So have a look around to your left and to your right. Do these people, your friends, do they hear live a life of Jesus for themselves? Do they or do you come to youth solely for fun? Why do you come to youth? Do you actually find it really boring and only come because your parents are forcing you? Would you choose to come if you didn't have to? God could do amazing things here today, and he could save everyone in this room. But there's a strong likelihood that many here won't be saved in a few years. Please take this seriously. Verse 13 says, if you live under the power of sin, you will die. But some of those guys in the video there, they're better people than me. Some of them are more kind and more generous. Some of them are more charismatic and more cool. Some of them, you could argue, even deserve heaven more than me if it was based on works and being a good person. But doing all the right things doesn't get you into heaven. I'm sure there's some in this room who think, I'm a pretty good person. Maybe I'll earn my way to heaven. I'm good enough. I'm not too bad. Maybe we think that our sin isn't too bad. Maybe we think we actually won't spiritually die. Because so often we can think of being Christian as a list of no's, a list of things that we cannot do, like don't be mean, don't lie, don't steal. We think if we don't do them, we'll be okay. But truly being Christian is also about saying yes to things. It's putting on characteristics. It's both. We need to say no, but we also need to say yes. And verse 5 says, if you have a look in your Bibles, it says we should think about what the Spirit wants. So what does thinking about the Spirit want look like? Well, there's another verse in the Bible called in Galatians. This is written by the same person, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These attributes are the way we should live. These are the yeses. So how are you at living by the Spirit and not living your own way? What if you, maybe in your discussion group, you can talk about one of those fruits of the Spirit and think about what it looks like in your life to put that on and to do that. But let's choose just one of those fruits. What if we looked at maybe self-control? Imagine a world where everyone was self-controlled, where people could control their anger, where revenge was squashed and non-existent, when we had control over the hurtful words we say, the banter we speak. The world would be such a better place if just one of those spirits was worked on by everyone. Because living by the Spirit and being locked into God's kingdom, it's awesome. Heaven will be full of kindness, of peace, of goodness. It's going to be awesome. Being a Christian, living God's way, is really good. But those who are locked into the flesh, they will have none of that. For those who are not self-controlled, for those who cannot resist sexual urges to watch pornography or lust after people, for people who say hurtful things in anger and cannot control the words they say, for people who in frustration they lash out physically or verbally, all of these people are locked into death. But maybe you're thinking, that's me. And that is certainly me as well. I am so quick to speak. I lack self-control in so many areas. I can become petty and unloving with the words that I use. And that's likely most of us in this room. And so if you are doubting yourself, maybe if you love Jesus, but this has left you a bit rattled because you see how much sin you have, I hope the rest of this talk fills you with confidence. Because it's quite clear, isn't it, that Christians still sin. You may love Jesus deeply, but you may not be able to overcome maybe one of these specific sins yet. You may regularly stumble. Does that mean you aren't saved? No, not at all. You can have certainty that even if you sin, you will still be saved. If you flip back maybe a page or two in your Bibles to Romans 7, you can see this mighty struggle, even in this guy, the mighty super Christian Paul himself. You aren't alone in this tension yourself. In Romans 7, Paul says, I don't do the good things I want to do. I keep on doing the evil things I don't want to do. And in verse 21, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Paul is saying, why do I keep on doing stuff I don't want to do? Why do I keep on sinning? Well, it's the desire. He wants to do good and he doesn't want to do evil. He doesn't want to sin. And yet he still does. What do you want to do? Do you want to sin? Well, even though there's this tension, we know that we are locked into salvation because like we saw yesterday, it's not actually up to us to get life. It's from God. The Spirit, which is from God, the Spirit gives life. If you flick back to Romans 8, you'll see that that's what the verse in verse 10 is all about. It's the verse that's underlined there on the screen. It says, if Christ lives in you, you will live. Though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. The Spirit does this because you have been made right with God. Can you see the tension in this verse? It opens with, if Christ lives in you. So this is written to Christians who love Jesus. But then it says, our bodies may die because of sin. There's a recognition that even if Christ is in us, we're still going to sin. The life, which comes from the Spirit, it's given to those who have bodies that still sin. So maybe for those of you who heard the first half of this talk and thought, I'm a pretty good Christian, I'm sorted, I don't need to worry. To those who think they deserve heaven, that it's just a formality, because of course God's going to choose me, can I say this to you? Stop thinking you're amazing. You're not. You cannot and do not deserve salvation. The Spirit that gives life is from God. It is a free gift from God. You do not deserve it. You did nothing to get it. You received it as a free gift. And to those of you who are listening thinking, I'm such a horrible person. I'm so unlovable. I can never please God. Why would he love me? I have to do so much better. Can I say this to you? Stop thinking you need to be amazing. You don't. You are so loved and so safe. The Spirit that gives life is from God. It is a free gift from God. You do not deserve it. You did nothing to get it. You have received it, and God will not take it away. You have someone who knows you and loves you deeply, and you're right. You cannot do it all on your own, and that's okay. But to both of you, hopefully to everyone here, let's know in our hearts that we are saved by the Holy Spirit. That's what locks us in to God's salvation. We can see that in verse 9 with all of the bold. It says, instead, the Holy Spirit rules over you. This is true. The Spirit of God lives in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's belong to Christ. God and Christ. It's not you. If that's not enough, how about verse 11 where it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you because of his Spirit who lives in you. It's the Spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead, and it's his Spirit, not us, it's God's. That's what helps us to live God's way. It's not our own strength. It's not us lifting up that weight like we saw yesterday, but it's God. It's the Spirit, and it's Jesus being raised from the dead. So if we think back, maybe it's that voice recorder that's playing, that's the one that listens to our expectations and judges us according to our own standards. If you are a child of God, if you are locked into the Spirit, if you love Jesus, then as you hear that voice recorder play, as you reflect back on all the times you failed, all the times that you haven't been as loving as you've wanted, Jesus reaches over and he stops the recording. I've got this, he says. You're sorted. Don't worry. If you are locked into the Spirit, you have nothing to worry about. You have no judgment. You have life. But if you are not yet locked into Jesus, you have a certain destination. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good you may think you are locked into death. So, are you going to live your own way, to live under the power of sin? Or are you going to live for God? Because like we saw yesterday, if you are in Christ, there is no judgment for those in Christ. Please consider the Spirit of life.